Are you looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hey there, and welcome to She's Building Her Empire. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel, and you're listening to episode 142. And on today's show, we have Lila Higgins. Lila is a brand designer and biz mentor to artsy makers living at the foot of the Yellowstone National Park. When she's not chasing around her toddlers or spending time with her techie husband, she's working alongside talented makers by providing them with logos, branding, and design consultation. I am so excited to share her with you today because we are going to dive in deep to branding. She's the founder of the Wake to Make hashtag on Instagram. You can find her there as well as the HigginsCreative.com. Lila, welcome to the show. So excited that you are here today.
Thanks so much for having me, Stacey. We've been looking forward to this for quite a
while. Oh my goodness, you guys, you have no idea what it has taken to get Lila on the show. Between her schedule, my schedule, it's been crazy, but we stuck through it. We knew we had to get her on here, so thank you for doing all of that.
Yeah, of course.
So I would love to first dive into a little bit of your backstory. You know, how did you get here today? Where did you start? Just kind of fill us in and fill in those gaps.
Yeah, sure. So I started right after we got married. My husband and I got married right out of high school, and we weren't making very much at the time, and I decided I wanted to try and sell my art. So I have a fine art background all the way back since I was about 8 years old. I've been in art classes and have learned pretty much every medium, and you know, I've always been willing to play with new things and stuff. So had that background, and then I was like, well, let me get my art online. Like, let me try and figure out how to sell it in an online space so I don't have to, you know, worry about the printing and the wholesaling and all that stuff that comes along with, you know, a physical product. And going to shows was not my thing. And so I was like, okay, well, let's figure out how to do this online. So I started with digital prints on Etsy, and we called ourselves Techne Arts, which Techne is the Greek word for like kind of all kinds of art. And so it kind of encompassed everything we wanted to do. But nobody knew what Techne meant. Right. And so we didn't sell very much at all. Like, we did not do very well with that. And so it's been about 3 years now since we rebranded to our name, the Higgins Creative. And I hired my business coach, Dana, in February of this year, and I've gone from making about $500 a month to making about $5,000 a month.
Wow.
And it's just been a crazy year, but it's been a crazy about 5 years of just this journey that we've been on.
Right, because you can't just start your journey from this past year. You've been doing so many things to kind of lead up to it. So lots of big takeaways in there. And you know, the name, I want to bring that up because so many people do this. They find this really crazy, unique name, right? And they're so excited about it, but then nobody knows what it means, right? And you're like, well, and that happens a lot. It's the Greek word that stands for this, and it actually means this if you put this and this together.
Okay. Right.
You know, it's like, yes, it's great. And we want to be creative. But sometimes just being really basic and getting it out there, people know what you do now. So it is going to help you when you come to start selling and everything like that. So
that's
really
kind of the first step in branding is your name.
Yes, absolutely.
And make sure that is all in line with what you're trying to do.
So let's talk about that a little bit. So when somebody is coming to you, maybe they have a name that's not working, or they're coming just starting from scratch. What do you tell them when picking their name?
Yeah, it's kind of a sensitive topic for some clients. Some are, if they're new enough, you know, I can give them that counseling and be like, hey, you know, we need to think about what this is going to look like to your clients, how this is going to translate, and make sure that, because I can see your heart and I can see what you're trying to do, but we got to make sure that we've created that bridge between you and the client, and we're actually letting that translate the right way. And so some people are just stuck on their name, and we make it work. And I mean, Apple used to be associated with a fruit, and now it's computer and this empire. And so it can work. I think it just, if you're not really intentional in making sure you've surrounded that name with a brand that converts and actually translates correctly, you have to be really careful not to confuse your clientele.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. There are some really random names, places you shop where, what do they mean? You don't even know, but you still shop there. You still buy it. So yes, you absolutely can be right. So now my question is, I just went through a rebrand. I know a lot of people on here are, you know, looking at how can they up level their brand, things like that. So I want to basically ask you, you know, it's crazy how different you feel when you love the look of your brand, right? So I want to just kind of go over some tips and tools for helping people find that look that just feels like them.
Yeah, sure. So I posted in a Facebook group, I think it was the Boss Mom Facebook group, not too long ago. And it was like, describe what you do in a really like humorous way that would get people to be like, oh, like, really? Tell me more, instead of just, I'm a graphic designer, you know?
Right.
And I said something along the lines of, I help women who work at home in their yoga pants look like they're like professionals when you're really just home in your yoga pants, like drinking coffee and, yeah, you know, cold coffee from this morning. And so that was kind of a funny moment for me. But because your brand is not so much what you like necessarily, even your style or that type of thing. I mean, but it has pieces of you, but it has pieces of you that are actually going to be effective in reaching the people you want to reach. And so weeding that out is kind of a process. And a lot of my clients are always like, oh, I'm sorry, this is taking so long, or I'm being so indecisive, but it really is just a part of the process. And getting inside each other's heads and helping them understand, and helping, you know, me understand what's in their head and then translate that correctly to what's in the head of their client, is that whole process just takes a little bit of time. And so you have to be patient with yourself in that, because it's something that you have to just be really intentional and plan out, you know, how is this going to look, and tweak it as you go. My coach always says that success is in the tweak, not the pivot. And so making sure that you're not like changing directions and freaking out that this isn't working, instead of, you know, just pivoting and kind of finagling it till it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, learning lessons from my end with going through this rebrand was is exactly what you just said. I was trying to find like, what do I love, right? And I was grabbing these colors that weren't really giving the vibe that I was telling my designer that I wanted. You know, I was really looking for this high-end, high-performing brand that people could look at and just get those feelings from. And my designer was saying, but you're not exuding that in the colors you're picking. So she kind of dug deep with me and looked at some of my Facebook lives and looked at what I was doing and things that I really liked. And it's so funny because the color scheme that we came up with actually looks like the interior of my house. So it's these really pretty neutral colors, but then there's these pops of teal, because that's exactly what my house looks like. So it still feels on brand, but it wasn't necessarily what I was thinking, oh, I'm going to come out and do this with this brand. So yeah, sometimes you do need to kind of sit back and let the experts jump in, but then you have to still love it in the end. Like, that has to be something you feel and just know that the brand is really on brand with you.
Right. You have to find the balance between an intentional brand that reaches the right people, but then also feels really personal to you, because you can't sell something you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. And so if your brand is so far from who you are and doesn't feel, you can't put words to the visuals, you can't match, you know, what you're seeing with how you're feeling, that there has to be some sort of compromise there. So that's what a really good designer does. So it's great. That sounds like she knows exactly what she's doing and helping you, you know, kind of weed through that.
Yeah, absolutely. So now you just talked about tweaking, right? It's all in the little tweaks. So how often do we need to be tweaking when we're talking about our brand? You know, when does it need a facelift? How do we know when it kind of needs, not that it needs a completely big rebrand, but like you said, just a little tweak here and there?
Yeah, I feel like I'm constantly tweaking my brand, just a little, you know, a little finer, a little more professional, a little even simpler. A lot of times we'll spend, you know, 2 months on developing this brand, and then suddenly we realize it's really simple, and it was like, oh, well, it took a lot to get there, but we've got to the simple place in it. And that's when I think you get to the really like professional up-leveled feel, is when it's very, very like simple and minimal, and like it carries the message without distracting from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in my brick and mortar studio, we have these three colors that are in our logo. And every time we would do something in-house, we take one of those colors and we'd stick it in the background. And it just, it didn't feel like high-end, upscale. And now we just use like a very simple shade of white in the background, and we have these pops of color. And like you said, just something so simple can actually feel more complex, more high-end than having all of these crazy colors everywhere.
Right. And when you have too many crazy colors or too many crazy fonts, when you start to create content and put it out there, it doesn't end up looking cohesive. Mm-hmm. And so the simpler it is, the more cohesive, the more easier it is to keep it cohesive and keep it looking like the same brand. And it's very subtle. Like, it shouldn't be your branding colors, your branding fonts. Like, it shouldn't be this crazy mess of stuff. Like, people should be seeing your message more than your visuals.
Mm, that's a really, really good point. So now, talking about fonts, how many fonts do you recommend that we have that we use over and over and over?
I pretty much limit it to three with most of my clients. Okay. Sometimes if they have, because I do a header, a subheader, and then a paragraph font. But sometimes if they have a really simple, maybe a, you know, sans serif font for their header and subheader, then they want, you know, a script thrown there occasionally, sometimes four, but very rarely. It's usually three.
Okay, great. And that's just good to know. I know some people are thinking, oh no, I have one font that I use for everything. So yeah, it is really great. And you know, I'm sure now that you hear this, you're going to go back and look at some social media posts and you're going to see somebody's going to have two or three fonts inside of one social media graphic. Because like you just said, sometimes that little script is kind of nice to throw in there to kind of have it just to make it a little bit different, spice it up a little bit.
And even during the holidays and stuff, or, you know, when certain special occasions come up, you can use that script font to kind of trigger that this is something special and unique that's happening.
Very cool. So now, where do we start when we're rebranding or building our brand? Do we start with the colors, the logos, the fonts? I mean, where do we start first?
It really depends on the person and designer. I know I start with logo usually because logo, it kind of encapsulates everything, and it should encapsulate everything.
Yeah.
And it's easy to draw, like, okay, we created this logo, that the symbol or this, you know, word form that really outlines who you are and, you know, feels really real to you. So let's then pull out pieces of that. And so you pull out colors from that, you pull out fonts from that, you can then pair everything around that.
Yeah, now that you say that, so that's exactly what we did. They gave me options of logos, I picked one, and then when they came back to me with the colors, they were using these colors with the logo, so I already love the logo. It was easy to figure out what I liked and didn't like with the colors. So that makes a lot of sense now that you're saying that.
Right, and it's hard if you know, say you want a logo that's kind of that kind of rough vintage look, but then you pick colors that are like peach and green and, you know, bright purple. Like, that doesn't really fit. So if you pick colors first, you have to try and fit that into a logo. And for me, the process doesn't work as well.
Yeah. And that's totally what I did, Lila. I had like coral and teal. And I said, I want it high end. And this is like, well, that's like rustic vintage. That's not really what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, really? You know? So it's so funny that you say that, because it's like, this is exactly what I was going through. So good. So now I want to ask you, because I'm sure there are people like me that come to you and they have this vision and they have what they want, but you want to deliver your best and your all, and maybe you don't agree with that. So where is the fine line there? How do you figure out, you know, not to step on your customer's toes, but then really make sure you're giving them the brand that they're wanting?
For the most part, I am able to educate my clients in a kind of gracious way and tell them, hey, this, you know, this is not going to convert for you. Like, this is not going to look as professional as you're wanting it to look. And so approaching it in an education way where, like, you know, you don't understand, like, it's just this art thing. Like, you can't yes, be snobby about it like that at all. But really depends on the person. But how I approach it usually is just like, this is not going to convert for your clients. Like, we're thinking about, you know, when I'm working with a client, I'm thinking about their clients and what's going to happen when their clients see what I've put out for them. And is that converting for them? And so just dealing with that in a really, like, this is for your good kind of attitude.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Well, before we move on, I just want to take a quick moment to talk about one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audiobook tool of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap. Again, that's audibletrial.com/businessrescueroadmap for your free audiobook today. All right, we are back with Lila Higgins. Lila, this has been so good. I want to pick your brain on a few more things before we go. So I want to ask you, where can we get ideas and inspiration to really have this amazing brand that we want? I mean, where are places you go?
I usually send my clients to Pinterest first, although Pinterest can be overwhelming and you'll end up just searching for other logos, and then you have like other people's designs in your head without really figuring out, you know, who you are and what you want to see. So places like National Geographic, beautiful photographers, imagery that comes to mind when you think of, you know, your brand and think of what you like and what, you know, your people like. So even surfing on if you have previous clients or you have people that you know want to be your client, searching on their Instagrams or their Facebooks, looking at the imagery they like or the things that they share about trying to dig out just these little visual pieces within all of those platforms that kind of can combine into, you know, what you're trying to put out there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I want to ask you too. So, I mean, one of the things that I do specifically is like what you just said, you find somebody that you love and you figure out, you observe, why do you love it? What do you love about what they're doing on social media? But I want to ask you that. So how do we take this great logo, these great, amazing colors, and then build this consistent brand on Facebook or other social media platforms? Do you have some tips for us to create that consistency?
Templates are great. If you can get your designer to create templates for you that you can overlay your text on, or that you can add imagery to, or, you know, if they're going to be creating that for you. I have a client, I create her whole Instagram. I send her 30 images a month where she gets to post them, and she can add fonts if she wants to. And I've, you know, kind of taught her how to do that within an app called Over, which is great because you can upload your own fonts into it. And so it really just depends on, you know, the person and how that works for them.
Yeah. And I think that's so funny because I always thought every single post, you know, it needed to be different, new background, new this, new that. And then you start to, like I said, observe other brands and they have exactly what you're talking about. You know, the same type of border. And every time there's just a new quote in the middle, but the same font, the same colors, the same feel. So I think that's really, really, I'm so glad you said that, that you have created these templates and they just pop in their stuff. That's a great way. And think how easy that is just to have somebody help you take 30 quotes and pop it in the same exact, you know, that border and in all those colors. So perfect. Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, well, even like I want to say about stock imagery, if you can find a style of stock imagery that works for you, so say it's flat lays, or say it's, you know, images that are mostly black or images that mostly have this color, that's a really good way to mix up the templates. So you don't have to post a template every time. You can add in just pretty pictures and then have good, you know, actionable captions along with those. And so, and have a pattern. So every Tuesday I post a template, every, you know, Wednesday I post a picture, every Thursday it's a personal picture or whatever, and have just a set schedule so that you know what's posting every day. And that alone, the pattern that people are going to see, is going to speak intentionality to them. And that's going to help them realize that you're serious and that you actually take the time to plan and take the time to, you know, put effort into your presence online, which means and translates to them that you're going to take the effort for them.
Yeah. And now tell us, what is your Instagram account? Because I know people are going to go, ooh, I'm going to go and check this out.
Yeah, I'm just at the Higgins.
Okay, perfect. And then I want to ask you, what's like the biggest mistake you see with when you're looking at other people's branding and everything like that?
Oh, gosh. Probably too many fonts is probably the most common. Yeah.
And I do see that. And I see like no consistency, right? I mean, they don't even realize that they have to have the same font. So all of a sudden they just keep grabbing and grabbing and doing that. And even when I started, I probably had four that I liked and I would mix them up because I kept thinking people are going to get sick of seeing the same old thing, right? So I was trying to do so many. So I do think that's a really good point, but that's so great. So yeah, definitely check out Lila on Instagram. Start finding out what you like, what you don't. You're going to start to see and feel, you know, what you want that brand to feel like. And like Lila said, you can be making little tweaks here and there. So I think that's so great. Anything else specifically on branding that you want to share before I move on?
I have a very well curated tribe on Facebook, and they have helped me immensely in branding. Because I can, you know, it's a space where they can be and they can ask questions and they can feel safe and they can, you know, feel taken care of. But I can actually listen in. It's like being a fly on their wall in their house. And I get to listen in and be like, okay, well, you know, she just posted about this topic, or she just posted a picture of this thing that has these textures in it. And I can then use that and translate that into my brand. So it's like they're helping me build, and my listening to them and taking steps towards them and their style and what they like is actually a way to nurture them.
Great. Well, and before we end this episode, I do want to ask you a couple questions really quick, just business related. So you just talked about how your business, I mean, just in a year's time has really blown up. So we talk about high performers on this show. I want to know, I mean, how are you doing it? So first of all, Phyllis, do you have kids? That was one thing I forgot to ask you.
Yes. So I have two toddlers. So my son will be four. Well, he'll be four by the time this airs. And then my daughter is 2.5.
Okay, great. So that means you're busy. I've got little ones too, so I understand it. So how do you mix this? I mean, how do you stay like a high performer? Explain what you do. Do you take them to daycare? Are they home with you? How do you make this all work in your day?
So they're home with me for the majority of the week, but my sister takes them overnight Thursdays, Fridays.
Okay.
And so I'm able to have that time to really do work on my business, because I can pretty much do client work while they're home.
Right.
Client work is kind of, there's not very often where I'm sitting there like designing for like 2 or 3 hours. It's usually a tweak here, a tweak there, that type of thing. And so I can do that during the week, but then Thursday, Friday is there with my sister. And then by the time this airs, my husband will actually be home too. And so we're going to be able to switch off daycare or
babysitting. So that'll be really, I mean, I can't even imagine what that will do for you just to have that major productive time.
Yep. And he'll be working on the business too. And so it'll, you know, double our time on both efforts.
So was he in, did he have a regular job before then? Or I mean, what was he doing?
Yeah, he works in tech support. So he's going to hop off and help me give kind of more of the technical.
Yeah. I can't even imagine where your business is going to go now that you have that piece. You know, I mean, that's just so huge. Yeah. And to know that your business is supporting both of you and you're able to see this vision and know that, you know, where you've come from in just this past year and where you're going in the next year is going to be huge.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. He told me the other day, he's like, I have all these ideas. I was like, okay, very awesome. Cool.
So what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
The freedom and the time I get to, I mean, like on Monday, my husband took off work and my brother was in town and we just like went up to a big city in Montana that is close to us. And we just played all day and didn't have to worry about work and didn't have to, you know, I was watching a live stream as I was walking through the mall of, you know, my coach. And I was like commenting back and emailing people just on the road as I had time. And it was fun to just take a few minutes and work and then get back into, you know, living life and being free.
What's the most challenging part for you?
I worry about losing it all the time. Yeah, so
I know.
So just like that suddenly all my clients will leave me and I won't have any income, have to go get a job at a coffee shop.
Right. So it's so funny because it is just something where you do feel like this could be taken away at any moment. But I think knowing that fuels us to work even harder.
But it does.
It's also a really good point of making sure our eggs aren't all in one basket. So that's a really big deal too. So do you have a go-to, maybe it's a branding tool you can share with us, either online or offline, that really allows us to create this, you know, gorgeous brand?
I actually use Over a lot for my social media templates and my blog templates and everything. It's a really great app and you can actually access Unsplash, which is free, royalty-free stock photography.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And you can, within the app, like search for what you're looking for. So if you want a picture of a computer or you want, you know, a picture with a lot of white in it or whatever, you can just type that in the app. And then you, like I said, you can upload your own fonts into it. And so you can create templates on the road. I usually blog on like long drives when we're going to, you know.
And tell me again what that website's called.
It's Over. So it's an app. So it's Over, like OVER.
Perfect. And how much is it? Or is it free?
Ooh, I think it's free, but then there's add-ons you can get.
Perfect. Yeah, it's just good to know, have other options, other tools. So that's really great to know that it's an app. You can do it right on your phone. So how nice that you can just upload a picture, do any of that stuff. Very cool.
Yeah, and you can even like mush pictures together and there's like a tool where you can do, you can cover Acme. And I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. It's great.
Ooh, perfect. All right, I'm excited to check that out. One piece of advice that you would give to somebody looking to really up-level, take that business to the next level.
Collaborate with someone. It doesn't have to necessarily be a designer you hire, although that's always best. But if that's not in your budget, find someone who's good, who has a good eye, who can be on the outside and can look at your stuff and really help you get to that place. So it could be your coach, it could be a friend, it could be your mom, or you could hire a designer to actually work with you and build that brand. Because I think we can only do so much on our own if we don't have someone else, you know, looking in on that. A mastermind would be great for that too.
Yeah, definitely.
If we don't have someone looking in on that and helping us, we can't really grow as much as we could.
Yeah, I love it. And I really love collaborations. I think it's just something we all need to be actively looking for, seeking. When we have those posts on Facebook, when somebody puts like, it's collaboration on Tuesday, everybody, you know, say what you do. Don't just go there to post what you do. Look at what other people are posting and actively seek out those relationships, because nobody does that. And that's when you're going to find those key collaborators like Lila's talking about.
Yeah, and a lot of collaborations turn into client work or turn into connections. So if I have someone coming to me and asking about something that I don't offer, I can be like, oh, hey, but I talked to this person personally and I've seen her work and it's great. Like, go to her.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds great. Lila, this has been so wonderful. Tell us where we can find out, like, where are the go-to places to find you? Where can we find more about you?
Yeah, so Instagram is my jam. So it's The Higgins Creative is my tag handle. And then I do Instagram stories on there and I try and be as funny as possible. So that's kind of an entertaining thing for me. But then my website is just thehigginscreative.com. And when you get on there, the splash page is one side is artsy makers and one side is biz bosses. So depending on where you fall, that will kind of take you through the journey to see everything that we offer.
Yeah, I love it. And I know we have both people listening. So I think that's great that you have a couple things for each type of person. So that's wonderful. All right, Lila, thank you so much for your time today. This was well worth the wait. I know we've been going back and forth. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Stacey.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at shesbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock-solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit shesbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.